In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. There is so much that I would like to say to you today, but I'm afraid there's never enough time. Today's gospel is very beautiful and it has much hidden within it. We have two miracles. One miracle represents a miracle or grace that is given to the tribes of Israel, the chosen people. And another miracle represents the graces that are given to the Gentile nations, the other nations, those who are not of the tribe of Israel. The ruler is the ruler of the chosen people. His daughter is sick and dying. And he asked our Lord to go to him, to his house there, to heal his daughter. And our Lord is on the way. And while he's on the way, there is this old woman who has been sick for 12 years now. And before our Lord has an opportunity to help the daughter of the ruler, this elder woman, filled with faith, sneaks up behind Christ, saying within herself, "If I but touch the tassel of his cloak, I will be healed." And she does so. Our Lord feels the grace leave his body. He turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And the apostles say, "But Lord, you see the people all gathered around you, bustling all around you, and you ask, who touched you?" But the woman realizes that she has been caught. Our Lord has felt the grace go out from him. You can't hide anything from God. And she comes forth and confesses what she has done. And our Lord heals her, says her faith has made her whole. Now this woman, as I say, represents the Gentiles, the poor daughter of Jairus, who is dying there, whom our Lord is going to raise back to life. She represents the Israelites. This girl is 12 years old, has reached, you might say, the age of maturity. She is now considered almost ready to be married. She has passed her infancy, the childhood is leaving behind, and she finds herself dead. And it just so happens that this older woman who was sick had been suffering with her illness for 12 years. So we see they begin, the young girl began her life at the same time this older woman began her suffering. The Israelites began their chosen life, the chosen people of God, and the Gentile nations began their suffering. And they reach this age of 12, this age of maturity, when the Israelites should have been accepting Christ, should have been moving forward with great speed, great agility. They find themselves dead. They've reached maturity and they should be ready to accept Christ, but for some reason, they're dead. And they cannot accept Christ. And the Israelites have rejected Christ. And the Gentile nations, represented by this poor woman, without the grace of God, without all the benefits, struggling, but yet filled with profound faith, with profound humility, she rushes in and receives grace from Christ before the Israelites did. Reminds me of a nice fable that we often tell to children, of the tortoise and the hare. You remember that story, Anne-Marie? The tortoise and the hare. The Israelites represent the tortoise. They're ready to run forward. They have God's blessing. They have the law. They have everything they need to welcome Christ. But they sit back and do nothing. They take their rest like the foolish hare. He knows he has the agility, he has the speed, and so he thinks he can just lay back and take a nap under the tree and he can still win the race. Everything will be fine. And we know that slowly but surely that tortoise, he trudged on while the hare was asleep and won the prize. And that's what the Gentile nations have done. They have gone forward and beat the Israelites into the kingdom of heaven. And you might say, well, that's all well and good. It's a nice history lesson. What does that have to do with us today? Well, I ask you to stop and consider for a moment that as Catholics, we are the chosen people of God. We have been given special graces. We have the ability to run fast and furious right into God's arms. We have countless graces at our disposal, countless opportunities to receive God's blessing. We have the sacrifice of the Mass where we can come and intimately unite ourselves with Christ. We have the sacrament of penance if we should fail, that we can immediately have our sins forgiven. We have countless indulgences where we can gain the forgiveness of even the temporal punishment that's due to our sins. We have all this agility, all this speed with which we can run to Christ. We today, as Catholics, are like that hare in the fable of the tortoise and the hare. And tragically, I think we have imitated the Israelites. We are imitating that hare. And we lay back and think, well, I can take my ease now because it's all done. It's all secure. It's so easy. I can rest securely under this tree and take my nap. And I don't have to work for it very hard. I don't have to do much. I don't have to put forth much effort. And tragically, that's exactly what we do. We are fools. And while we are sitting back, doing nothing, making no advances towards our salvation, actually we're receding, we're falling further and further behind, I find that those who are not Catholic, they study the Catholic faith. They see the truth in it. And they decide, I want to become a Catholic. I want to love God. I want to take advantage of all those graces, all those indulgences, all the sacraments, all the opportunities to love God. I want to take advantage of them. And they come forth, they enter the church, and they make greater spiritual progress, greater spiritual advancement than those who are born into the faith, those who are baptized as Catholics. And I find this is a terrible tragedy. But it is a lesson that somehow we have never learned. Even though we've heard Aesop's fables, we've heard the lesson of the tortoise and the hare. We've seen what happened to the Israelites when Christ came. We read at the end of the Mass in the last Gospel how Christ came unto his own, but his own received him not. I think this is truly a wake-up call for us all. This poor woman, representing those outside of the chosen nation, came forth and received God's grace first. I dare say she made greater advancement. Our Lord did restore Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old girl. He did restore her to life. But did you hear him say to this daughter what he said to this woman? Take courage. Your faith has made you whole. That is something that we should be eager to receive. Because we are all sinners, we've all offended God. Our souls are ill. Do we have the faith of this woman? Granted, we can come to the sacraments easily. We can make great strides quickly. But do we have the faith to take advantage of them? Do we have the faith to treasure every little drop of God's grace that should come to us? Do we have the faith and the humility to say it's not necessary that I receive all these wonderful graces? All that is necessary is that I should touch the tassel of his cloak and I will be healed. Do we have that faith? Are we more materialistic? Like the Pharisees, the scribes, like perhaps even this ruler. Lord, come to my house. Come, lay your hands on my daughter, that she might live. Is that the materialism that we have? Is that how little faith that we truly have? I dare say that this woman, as I say, who represents the Gentile nations, puts us to shame with her faith. It's not necessary that Christ should even acknowledge me. Just let me touch the tassel of his cloak. I remember the other ruler whose servant was dying. And our Lord said, I will come. And he said, no, Lord, it's not necessary that you should come. I'm a ruler. I have servants to wait on me. Hand and foot, I say to this one, come, and he comes. And to this one, go, and he goes. And to this one, do this, and he does it. Lord, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And our Lord says he's not seen such great faith in all of Israel. I dare say because we have so many graces, so many opportunities, we have become presumptuous. We have allowed our faith to grow cold. And many outside of the church who will enter will become the first. They will put us to shame because we have fallen into this rut. We've taken for granted that Christ will always be there, ready to come when we want him, when we need him. And we have become like the hare. We've become like the scribes and the Pharisees, when actually we should be imitating the tortoise. We should be imitating this Gentile woman and plod along perseveringly in season and out of season, filled with faith, trust, always grateful for the slightest graces that God should give to us. Always eager to make advances in the spiritual life, step by step, never taking for granted that we will be guaranteed to receive this before we die, or that we have plenty of time left, but to take advantage of every moment, every opportunity, moving steadily forward. All too often we think we can make these great leaps and bounds in the faith. We just put it off for a later day and then we'll make advances and before we die it'll all be okay. And we sin against the Holy Ghost by presumption. My wish and my prayer for us is that we not fall into this trap. That we not feel secure in the fact that we are Catholics, that much has been given to us. I remind you that when much has been given to us, much will be required of us. But rather let us learn of the faith of those who enter from outside, whose faith makes them whole. Let us learn a lesson from them and not take any of these graces for granted, but put every single one of them to use every single day like that tortoise, step by step, always moving in the right direction. It may be slow, it may be boring, but as long as we're moving in the right direction, we are advancing. If we think we're secure and we fall asleep under the tree and take a nap, we're not advancing. And the spiritual writers tell us, if we're not making progress in the spiritual life, we are actually falling backwards. We're losing ground. And they compare it to rowing a boat in a stream. As long as you row the boat against the current, you can make a little bit of progress. But if you pull the oars in and stop rowing, the current is going to carry you right back downstream. If you want to advance up the stream, you've got to constantly row. You've got to constantly work. You don't have to sprint. And very often I see those who desire to sprint and think they make great advances. They are the most presumptuous. They are the scribes and Pharisees who look down their nose at everyone else. On the contrary, I would say, avoid that desire to sprint. You should be eager to reach God as quickly as possible. But I say, while you're here on earth, content yourself to make progress day by day, little by little. Don't allow yourself to sprint and then take a nap. There's no rest. It's a constant daily endeavor. And if you pace yourself, striving each day to draw closer and closer to God, not by leaps and bounds, but by a sure and steady course, you will arrive at the goal, and you will arrive more safely, more perfectly, than if you were filled with presumption. More perfectly than if you stood like the Pharisee in the temple and say, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like the rest of these men. That pride and that vanity will destroy all the good that you've done. Rather, I encourage you to look at the publican. To look at this woman of the Gentile nations from outside. Look at their humility as they strike their breast and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Occasion after occasion we see that our Lord gives his blessing to this humble humility, this desire not to presume upon God's mercy, but to approach him cautiously, steadily, never taking for granted anything, but always measuring our step and desiring from the depths of our heart, with all the faith we can muster, to approach him closer and closer each day, to grow in charity each and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.